Welcome to Rising Moon Astrology. This is Mary Pat Lynch of Rising Moon Astrology, welcoming you to my podcast. I release podcast episodes for each new and full moon, occasionally for other special astrological events, but generally the new and full moons, which are my focus. My website, risingmoonastrology.com, has information about the readings I offer as a consulting astrologer, and some other information about my background and astrology in general. I'm also on Instagram as Rising Moon Astrology. And I have a newsletter if you'd like to receive this information in your email inbox. The music that you hear is composed and performed by flautist Suzanne Tang. The track is called September Angels, and her music is available through magnatunes.com. It's Sunday night as I'm recording this, the night before the full moon, but I can tell you that as I watched the moon rise from my front porch earlier this evening, it was already bright and bold and almost full. The full moon itself will be exact tomorrow night, Monday night, close to midnight in my eastern U.S. time zone. And I'm hoping for another clear night so I can get a look at this gorgeous full moon. This is an Aries moon, a bold, bright, let's get her done, let's do what we want, let's have some fun with it kind of moon. Now, of course, in the full moon chart overall, there are complexities, especially these days, because the world seems extraordinarily complicated right now. And of course, that is reflected in the sky, in our astrological charts. So, we're out of eclipse season. That's awesome. We can move ahead, but the world is still complicated. So let's take a look at what this particular full moon has to offer to see what our best options are going to be. Late Monday night, almost Tuesday in my eastern U.S. time zone, we reach the full moon in Aries. We're past the equinox, the sun in exquisitely calibrated Libra. We're also out of eclipse season, which is great because the two fall eclipses were both intense. This moon is full in the middle of Aries, the sign of cardinal fire, of starting new stuff, heading toward what we want the most. There's a clean feeling to Aries, like an arrow shot straight and true from a bow landing exactly in the middle of the bullseye. Yet the moon is not at her best here. Aries is the place of the sun's exaltation. There's a bit too much glare for the moon. The light is too bright. The moon in mid-Aries has desires, for sure, but can be swayed by strong personalities around her. She may be influenced by directions and destinations set by others. Meanwhile, the sun travels through mid-Libra, cardinal air. This is a place of lasting unions, of connections so strong they feel like forever. And yet, the middle of Libra is also a place where bonds can be broken by the chances of the world or changes of the heart. The sun, opposite their sign of exaltation, which is Aries, is not strong in Libra. Sometimes the search for harmony overall can lead to breaking individual bonds. It's tough to keep personal commitments when we're trying to keep everyone happy. So it's handy that Jupiter is nearby. Jupiter sits at 23 degrees Cancer, where he is glorious and strong. At the end of Cancer, cardinal water, and place of his exaltation, Jupiter is generous with gifts. The sun and moon are at 14 Libra and Aries. These signs square Cancer. With the wide orbs given to the sun and moon, both luminaries are already in applying squares to Jupiter. While squares can be challenging, any connection to Jupiter, especially in an exalted state, is great. So the sun and moon each apply to square Jupiter, who is ready to offer generous support. The moon's square will perfect on Tuesday, October 7th, within the full moon phase. The sun will reach their exact square October 17th. This means Jupiter's beneficent action will continue well into this waning lunar phase. This is good, because the backdrop to the full moon is powerful. We are still and will be for many years in a timeline of great change. The strength of this big change energy is reflected in the ongoing connections among Pluto, Uranus, Neptune, and Saturn. As we've seen for some weeks, Pluto in Aquarius continues to trine Uranus in Gemini, while both of them sextile Saturn and Neptune. Pluto is especially powerful right now because he is stationing. Currently retrograde, Pluto will turn direct on October 13th. But Pluto moves so slowly, he's already in position for this change of direction. He won't move between now and the 13th. As a general rule, all the outer planets are strongest when they are stationing. Because of the length of their orbits relative to Earth's orbit, Pluto, Neptune, and Uranus spend a lot of time retrograde. So while we notice differences in birth charts based on whether outer planets are direct or retrograde, in world events, we tend to see the greatest impacts when these powerful bodies are not moving at all, which we call stationing. Uranus is retrograde at the beginning of Gemini. He stationed back on September 6th, but in the weeks since then, hasn't even moved half a degree. Uranus is strong right now, too. By the way, Neptune and Saturn also turned retrograde in the last weeks, so the big change planets are all feeling a bit heavy these days, as they stay connected to each other with trines and sextiles. This can feel like a stationary storm front. Big weather systems can get stuck over mountains or large bodies of water and keep blowing or raining or snowing much more intensely than weather systems that move. Mercury, one of the quickest planets, is just about to enter Scorpio and will make that move before the full moon. This will bring new insight into the big change pattern. As soon as Mercury enters Scorpio, they will aspect Pluto, Uranus, Neptune, and Saturn. The strongest connection will be Mercury's square to Pluto, Scorpio to Aquarius. Mercury at the beginning of Scorpio is incisive. Austin Coppock's descriptors for this Mercury are curious, cunning, and concentrated. Pluto is, of course, the modern ruler of Scorpio, so this Mercury-Pluto square will be a very Scorpionic conversation. In world events, this connection can signal the uncovering of secrets. It can also signal the creation of new secrets, though, so possibly we'll see some of both. Scorpio-Mercury won't give up until they get to the bottom of things. Mercury is also at the apex of a yod, with Uranus as one point on the bottom of the triangle, and Saturn-Neptune the other point. A yod isn't comfortable, because the three points do not share either element or mode. Mercury is fixed water, Uranus is mutable air, Neptune is currently in cardinal fire. Saturn plays an interesting role in this yod, being well within orb to participate, but already back in Pisces, mutable water, so sharing the same element as Mercury. Will hidden things come to light? Will some things be hidden even more deeply? Can an incisive, penetrating Mercury help sort out Uranian quick changes happening in a Neptune-Saturn fog of confusion and disinformation? The answer to a yod is said to be opposite its apex. For this Mercury yod, the opposite point is early Taurus. So when things get too confusing, too much, do some Taurus. Touch grass. Eat chocolate. Hug somebody. Mercury is moving toward Mars, also in early Scorpio. This very powerful Mars has already squared Pluto and connected with Uranus, Neptune, and Saturn. Mars is action. Mercury is communication. So another possibility is Mercury's entrance into Scorpio may bring forward news about stuff that happened when Mars entered Scorpio. Mars rules this full moon, lending a subversive vibe to the straightforward approach Aries usually takes. Venus, in late Virgo, rules the Libra Sun and also moves into a sextile with Jupiter. Another additional tie to good fortune and good outcomes to balance those Scorpio vibes. There's no direct connection in this chart between the full moon and the pattern of aspects connecting the big change agents. Yet both are happening, and both are important. So let's foreground the full moon so we can understand and work with and live with and survive the big changes. We're past eclipse season. We're past the equinox. It's an Aries full moon. We want to move. The Aries moon wants to fulfill her desires, but not on her own. She wants to be part of her community. The Libra sun longs to make deep, lasting commitments while also being a good member of their community. The key theme of this full moon is that intersection between individual desire and community support. We already know how important this balance is. Big changes are happening. A chunk of those changes are not life-sustaining, bringing serious challenges forward for many people. We need community. We still have individual goals. We want both to be healthy and strong. This full moon is not letting us forget the state of the world. In fact, Mercury's job is to keep us in the loop. But the world at the full moon is background. Our focus is on finding our balance point between doing what we as individuals want and need, Aries, and what our communities need to stay strong and healthy, Libra. We see how both the moon and the sun carry this dual message. It's not a simple Aries equals me and Libra equals everybody else. Somewhere there's a sweet spot in which we get our needs met, mostly, while also contributing to and supporting our communities. This full moon invites us to find that sweet spot and move in there. This is Mary Pat Lynch of Rising Moon Astrology, wishing for all of us that things were a lot less complicated right now than they are. But the sky reflects what's happening in our world, and so our full moon chart is also complicated. Keep your focus on that Aries-Libra duality with all the support a wonderful Jupiter can bring, and let's keep the noisy, challenging, difficult, frightening world in the background as we figure out our balance points for what we need to stay productive and healthy and moving forward. As always, thank you for listening.